Hi, you've reached Kwame.
And Christy.
And we're from I'd Rather Not Podcast. Leave a message.
Everybody, welcome to the show. The rules of engagement are really quite simple. So if you can pull yourself away from Grindr for 2 seconds, listen up.
Let's have a kiki.
I want to have a kiki.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to I'd Rather Not Podcast. It's your girl, Christy Champagne, and the very handsome, the spooktacular Halloween prince himself, the one and only Kwame.
Why, thanks.
Happy Halloween, boo.
Happy Halloween, yes.
Or I should say, yeah, today's Halloween. Yes. I think this is going to air afterwards, but yeah. Happy Halloween anyways.
Why not? So how are you?
I'm good. I was thinking today to myself that Halloween, like, I feel like Halloween this year just came and went, and I felt like there was no time to enjoy Halloween this year. It was so crazy to me. I was literally like, how the fuck did it already become Halloween? Like, I didn't do anything crazy fun this year. Like, it just crept up on us, but...
Yeah, you know. I actually was planning on... I feel the same way, because, like... one of my friends posted from the Grove in LA, and they already have apparently Christmas stuff up. And I'm just like, did we not?
Oh, hell no.
What? We didn't even get to Turkey Day. Like,
what? Okay.
Can we?
Right? I'm like, wait, we have a holiday in between, fools.
We have things. What's happening? So that was shocking. And then also, I was prepping. I actually was prepping this year for. To celebrate Halloween, but a series of unfortunate events happened and I had to move and it was just craziness. And so I'm just like, what the fuck? It's like gone and not even here.
Right? I know, and it's like Halloween is supposed to be a drag queen's Christmas, and I just was not into it this year.
Yeah, it's been kinda cray.
Not into it. Okay, so here's the thing. So we have our lovely website where you can check out all of fabulous things that have to do with I'd Rather Not Podcast. And yes. We have, as you know, our glitter mail.
Yes. And for those who don't know the website, it's idrathernotpod.com.
Yes. And actually, I went in to start reading some of them, and they have been piling up because we're horrible. And like you said, things have been going on, and we haven't been able to answer them. So I thought it would be fun today if we did our very first glitter mail episode.
Yes! Glitter.
So I pulled some of them, and why don't we just hop right in there, yeah?
Let's do it.
All right, so... our very first one says, and most of these are anonymous. Most of those I pulled don't have names attached to them. A couple of them do. So if you are listening and we're reading your glitter mail, thank you. And if you get called out by name, we love you and keep listening. And I hope we answer your questions right. So here we go. Glitter mail letter number one. It says, let's see here. I feel like I should probably do this in some sort of accent, but I didn't practice. So anyway, it says, OMG, I freaking love your podcast. I just started getting into them and first heard yours. Yes.
Yeah.
So I was wondering what your advice would be for an up and coming drag queen like myself. I'm just learning how to do makeup, but have not perfected it. What steps should I take to do it right? I was also wondering if I should even do this because I'm afraid it will affect my dating life. What do you think?
Oh, this is all you, Christy.
I was just going to say, I think this might be all me. Well, let's see. Let's start with question number one. My advice for up-and-coming drag queens is to just be yourself. Don't try to copy anybody else. In the drag world, there is so many... queens, especially with RuPaul's Drag Race and, you know, Dragula and all these things that are so drag driven and in social media and those kinds of things. There's so many people. Just be yourself. Don't try to copy what somebody else did. Just be yourself. That's like my best advice that I can give to an up and coming drag queen. And practice. I can't tell you how much you're going to be happy with yourself if you practice before you start putting yourself out there.
Yes.
And that's, you know, that's the best advice I could give. As for being a drag queen and it affecting your dating life, it's going to. No matter what you do, it's going to. I can't tell you how hard or how difficult or how easy it will be, but it will affect your dating life. But you just have to try your best not to let it affect your dating life. A lot of guys out there, and if you're listening and you're one of these guys, and you maybe say you hit on a drag queen, or maybe you're talking to a guy on Grindr, and somehow it comes up that this person is a drag queen, whether it be for fun or it be for their job, like me, or whatever it may be, don't discriminate on them. Don't run away like most of these guys do, because most of us don't want to be women in our day lives. We do drag because it's fun or because it's our job. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, the shit washes off. The makeup comes off, the wig goes back on the wig head, the dress gets hung up in the closet, and I go back to being a dude. So don't be afraid to date somebody who does drag or who is doing drag. It's not going to hurt your masculinity. It's not going to, you know, it's not going to, you know, people aren't going to look down on you. Like, drag is not what, you know, drag is such a more prevalent thing in this world now. And I think that guys who, you know, for lack of a better word, discriminate against people, against other dudes who do drag, I think that's horrible. And my advice to you is, if you're a new baby drag queen and it's affecting your dating life, you don't need those dudes in your life anyways. Fuck them.
Preach. Like, preach.
You know, like, why would you want to be with somebody who doesn't support you, approve of what you do? Like, screw them. That's my advice.
Yeah. I think the only, I think the only thing that I can contribute to this particular question is practice, because I have seen, when I was a part of LaFoe, you know, and watching the amazing queens that grace that stage, they do practice, and not just practice like in terms of like dance moves or, you know, lyrics and things like that, but makeup. I've seen you specifically, Chrissy, just like constantly, like, you know, you're even on your days off, you'll go in, you know, to the studio and just like just practice the makeup, you know what I'm saying? Because that, yeah, even for seasoned queens like yourself, like, you still practice, which I think is really important for baby drag queens to see and hear, because I think that, you know, they think that, oh, well, you know, she's just really good at makeup. No, how do you think they got there? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know what I mean? That there's practice to it. And I think, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, a couple of the queens that I looked up to when I first started doing drag, a lot of them and a majority of the queens that I still look up to this day have told me one piece of advice, and that is practice one thing at a time. So if we're preaching to these queens to practice one thing at a time. Practice your foundation. Practice your contouring. Practice your eyebrows over and over and over again until you get each step perfected. And then you're going to find that it's going to be so easy to put all of those things together. And we live in such a world where you can watch YouTube videos and you can look up Instagram makeup artist, you know, makeup artists on Instagram, all kinds of things. There's so much out there for you to look at to be able to practice. So I'm going to agree with you. Practice, practice, practice.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Okay. Well, thanks for writing us in.
Yes, you are. We hope we hope that helped. All right, so here we go. Glitter mail number two. My boyfriend wants to stop having protected sex. We have been together for 2 years now, and I know we are faithful to each other, but I'm still worried about it. What are your feelings on unprotected sex in a monogamous relationship?
You want me to answer this one?
I was by the sound of that silence, I'm going to go with yes.
Okay. So here's my thing. I am a firm believer in protected sex. I did not have my last partner, who I was with for about 4 years. We did not have unprotected sex until about 6 months in to our relationship, and that was after we both got tested together, and, like, you know, I got a feel for, his monogamy and stuff like that. So I think that's a personal decision, but I firmly believe that it's important to to protect yourself, because I have, you know, especially now being working with doing advocacy with you know HIV prevention and AIDS institutes and programs, I've seen a lot of people who tend to be claim that they're in a monogamous relationship, and then a couple of months later they're in, you know, a clinic, you know, afraid because they have a scare going on because their partner cheating on them, or their boyfriend cheating on them, or whatever, or the person that they're dating with them decided that they wanted to step out of the relationship. So I think it's important to protect yourself first, and to make sure that you do what you feel is comfortable. If you feel you're ready to have unprotected sex, then, you know, with somebody and you trust that person, that is a personal decision. But do realize that, especially in this day and age, that there's risks, you know what I'm saying, that you're taking, even with the, you know, the word of somebody that you're with for a long time. I know people that have been in 10-year relationships that have gotten that have contracted you know, an STD because you know, after, you know, infidelity. So,
Kwame.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Kwame.
Can you hear me?
Ooh, I think you need to check. I think you need to check your connection. You sounding like the only robot right now.
Oh, really? I'm so sorry. What did you not hear?
I'm like, what is going on with the sound? What are you doing? He sounds like a robot.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Well, it sounds clear in my head. Anyway, basically, to make a long story short, I think it's important to protect yourself, regardless if you are in a monogamous relationship or not. And I think it's important to make sure that you just do what you need to do to protect you, because nobody's going to be, you know, nobody's going to protect you in the long run but you. And so I think that you making sure that you are safe first for you is important. So that's my only.
I think the thing here. Yeah. No. I agree with you 100%. And I think the kicker is the first sentence in this question was, my boyfriend wants to stop having protected sex.
Yeah.
So I think you have to ask yourself, do you want to stop having protected sex?
Right.
And if you do, then that's fine. And you and your partner talk about this and come to a decision together. But if your partner is pressuring you to have unprotected sex and you don't feel comfortable, whether you've been in a relationship for 6 months or 2 years or 20 years, you need to speak up and tell him what you want. And if what you want is to still have protected sex, then that's fine. Because my thing is, it's like, in the long run, is it really hurting anybody to wear a condom? No,
right,
it's
that
not.
Part.
Whether
that
you
part.
Are in a committed relationship or not, is it hurting you? It's not. I'm sorry, and you can. I'll argue with somebody all day long, but I just feel like it's not the end of the world for you to put on a condom. And if it's going to save us both, cool. And that doesn't mean I'm questioning your monogamy. That doesn't mean I think you're fooling around. It just means I want to have protected sex, and protected sex is healthy sex.
Right.
Period.
And
if you decide with your partner that you want to have unprotected sex, and you both have been tested and you both agree that this is what's best for your relationship, then I say go right ahead.
Right.
But don't do nothing you don't want to do. And
right.
If he's the one who wants to have unprotected sex and you don't, then you need to tell him, and he should respect that.
Right. And the key word is what you feel comfortable with. But at the same time, I don't want that misconstrued as like, oh, well, condoms don't feel right. Condoms may not feel right at the time, but it will keep your ass safe. So
absolutely.
Right. So you can sit here. I mean, like I said, really depends. I don't know how long you guys have been together. I don't know the type of relationship that you guys have. But if you can trust him and you feel super comfortable with it, that's fine. But like I said before, I've known people who have been in 10-year marriages and 10-year, you know, relationships, and or over 10-year relationships, and have contracted STDs because of it, you know, because they because of infidelity. So, I mean, it really just depends on how you feel about the situation. But I always say, you know, even when with my last partner, you know, that I was with for over 4 years, I was taking a risk by, you know, by making the decision to stop having unprotected or to start having unprotected sex with him. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, we were testing every 6 months. We were, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, like I said, it just really depends on you. Before him, I've never had unprotected sex. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. So,
that was just me. But, you know, he was a very special case and a special person at that time. But like I said, it really just depends on your comfort level and where you're at. And, you know, if you don't feel comfortable with it, don't do it. So.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. There you go. All right. So let's see here. Glitter mail number 3 for our Spanish speaking members. That's Trace. Glitter mail Trace.
Come on, Trace.
I hope you're sitting down because this one has mostly to do with you.
Me?
Yeah, girl. I love it. It's so good. Okay. Dear Christy and Kwame, my name is Sean. I'm 23 years old, and I am from California. I just started listening to your show, and I love every minute of it. You both are super funny. But I do think that Kwame can be a little harsh on the gay community sometimes. I was listening to your episode with Tommy Garassi, Kwame seems to think that gays who are not white have it harder. He also thinks that we are judgmental, and I don't get that. We are already being laughed at and made fun of. How are we judgmental? Would love to hear your response. I'm genuinely curious. Love, Sean.
So...
before you jump in there, I have to maybe defend you a little because I feel like because you live in Los Angeles, I live in Seattle, and the gay scenes in Los Angeles and Seattle are two totally different things. And I've lived in Los Angeles, I've been around the gay scene in California, and I want to preface this with. I don't feel like you're judgmental on the gay scene in your area because the gay scene in Los Angeles can be very judgmental and harsh. So you have to almost be that same way in return because you ask anybody, fucking gays and WeHo, I love all gay people, but gays and WeHo can be a little bitchy sometimes. And it can be a little much... So a girl got to be a little judgmental from time to time because, you know, the gays in Hollywood can be, you know, a little much. God love them. God love them. But, I feel like I might have to defend you a little bit because, I know how it is.
But I got this one.
On the mean streets of WeHo, it's real hard.
So what's his name? Sean? Is that his name, Sean?
Sean.
Okay. Hi, Sean. So first, you know, I'm not going to go after you because you did, you know, articulate that very politely. And you said you were genuinely curious. So here's the curiosity. My thing is when we were talking about the gay community, when Tommy Garassi was on, I think we were talking about Pride and everything. I wasn't specifically, and Chrissy does have a point in terms of different gay communities and, you know, in terms of, locations, but overall, the gay community can be very judgmental when it comes to its inclusivity. And what I mean by that is that, you know, and we talked about that in some of our, I believe it was our coming out episode. You know, we sit here and we fight so hard to try to come out and try to, you know, battle our family and battle society and what they deem is wrong and inhuman, you know, and for us to be loved and for us to be, to love somebody else that we're attracted to. And we fight so hard to do that only to come into a community sometimes. And this is not everyone. And I've never said that it's the whole entire community. I've never said, you know, that that everyone in the gay community is completely judgmental. I've never said that. But we do have a tendency to attack our own when it comes to, you know, oh, well, he's not wearing, you know, Gucci, or he's not wearing, you know, Christian Dior, whatever the latest trend is today. You know what I'm saying? We judge, you know, who comes into the club. If you're not skinny, if in terms of fat shaming, in terms of, oh, I don't take Asians or Blacks, or, you know, whatever the situation is. And so that was my point in that. And then to even go deeper into it, when he mentioned, I think he said something about white gays, there is a level of privilege that white people have, you know what I'm saying? So regardless if you're gay or not, and you and I have talked about that in private and also on the show, there's a level of of privilege that you have, Chrissy, that I will never have. You know what I'm saying? At least not now.
Absolutely.
In this time. Yeah. And so, and we've talked about that, and I think I don't ever get mad. Like I've said, Chrissy is one of my best friends. She's white. She's very white man. You know what I'm saying? You know, down from the South, Southern Belle. You know what I'm saying? So
yes, ma'am.
Chrissy is one of my closest friends, one of my inner circle people, and I don't have a lot of people who I consider in my inner circle. And so, Chrissy being white has nothing to do with your rank or your access into my inner circle. So I don't want you to think that, you know, because Chrissy is white or because I have that I'm outspoken when it comes to white privilege or when it comes to black culture that I am anti-white. You know what I'm saying? I think a lot of people confuse being pro-black with being anti-white, and that's completely not the case. You know, I know that there are extremists all over the place. There are extremists, you know, who are so pro-black to the point where they don't want to even acknowledge, you know, anybody that's, you know, white. That's not me. I'm very pro-black. I do have issues with the system that is in this state, or excuse me, in this country, and the issues that go on in terms of racial cultures and racial issues and systematic oppression. But that has nothing to do with my view or why I view the gay community the way it is. I feel like we are not as inclusive to our trans brothers and sisters. I feel like we're not as inclusive to lesbians. I feel like we're not as inclusive to anything that's outside of the G and the B. Even bisexual people, you know, it took them a while for us because we, you know, everybody was saying, you know, oh, that they're just confused or they're selfish or whatever. There was always a stigma to everything that's outside of the G in the LGBTQ. And so... I just feel like, you know, we need to do better with each other, and we need to do better in terms of acknowledging the privileges that we have, you know, just first of all, you know, as gay men, being a man and male privilege, you know what I'm saying, that comes with, you know, that. And then also racial issues that comes in with, you know, the LGBTQ community. But aside from the racial issues, aside from the male privilege, there is a level of judgmental attitudes and level of snootiness that gay men have towards each other, you know, when we walk into the club or, you know, if you don't know anybody, it gets very cliquish, you know. So I don't think that that's wrong to acknowledge. I think that it's important to acknowledge that stuff, because if you don't acknowledge it, we're not going to be able to fix it, you know.
That's exactly it. And it's, I think we might have talked about this in another episode where I feel like it literally starts with just one person.
Right.
If you are out in a club and you see an old, you know, maybe you go into the bar and the bar is filled with older gays, don't judge, because treat them the same way you would treat anybody else. And that goes for anybody, people of color, transgendered, lesbians, bisexuals, whoever it may be. If you just slowly but surely try your best to accept people for who they are and let them live their truth, then those barriers that we have that have been there for so long will slowly start to crumble one tiny brick at a time.
Right.
And then we won't have these walls up, you know, there won't be a difference between, you know, a person of color and a white person. There won't be a difference between a lesbian and a transgender, you know, it will just be people. And, you know, so you're going to get that judgment. It's just a part of life. But I think it's what you do with that judgment. It's how you act on that judgment. If you treat people differently because of that judgment, then that's wrong to me. But if you're going to judge somebody, go ahead, judge them, but don't treat them any differently than you would want to be treated.
Right.
And that will go a long way. And let's be honest, we have our cliques in the gay community, and unfortunately, I don't see them going away anytime soon. It's not like all of a sudden tomorrow we're going to not have bears, and we're going to not have twinks, and we're not going to have transgendered people, and we're not going to have, you know, all of these labels that come along with the gay community. Mm-hmm. Those are going to always be there, but it's about embracing each other within those cliques or within those different groups of our community. It's about reaching out, and it's about, you know, just treating each other with love and respect, and the bottom line. So if it sounds like we're being judgmental, we promise you we're not.
Right.
We come from a much different time than I think a lot of our listeners do.
Yeah.
And, you know, so a lot of people who are probably listening to our podcast now, God love all of you, are probably coming at things from a much different perspective and have had things a lot easier than probably, you know, myself or Kwame have.
Yeah. And just to add on,
We're just cackling queens, not judgmental. We're just cackling sassy queens.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to put myself or Chrissy on a high horse. Like, we have our moments when, you know, we talk shit too, you know what I'm saying? But I think that there's a difference between talking shit and treating people and actively treating people and trying to exclude them, you know? And just and also to add on to that, you know, to what you were saying earlier, is that there's a difference between having subcultures within the gay community and actually being cliques, you know what I'm saying? Because there are subcultures in the gay community. You do have your twinks, you do have your bears, you do have your leather daddies, you do have all these different type of the leather community. It's not just daddies, but you know, you do have all these different even the drag community is a subculture, you know. The ballroom scene is a subculture, but those subcultures tend to still be inclusive at the core of it all. And I think that it's important that, you know, to acknowledge the, you know, the issues and also, like you said, you know, when you were talking about how many people who may be listening into the show may come from a different perspective and, you know, may not experience life how we have. And that's great. And I hope it continues to progress. But if you do not figure out, like, for instance, a lot of people didn't know about the Stonewall incidents. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people didn't know about, they just watched that movie and thought that that's how everything happened and it was historically inaccurate. You know what I'm saying? I think knowing your history, regardless if it's presently happening or not, is important, and to be able to move forward and to acknowledge what has happened before, so it doesn't happen again, so you can have the tools to move forward and be progressive.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly it. Not to get off the subject of this listener's question, but to kind of go back to the previous one where we had the listener asking about, you know, what can you do as a baby drag queen? I think to open that umbrella a little more is, like you said, to know your history, to know where the gay struggle comes from, to know what a lot of our drag and transgendered and people of color and all of those things, all of the struggles that we have had within our community, within those subtexts. And, you know, look up things. There is an amazing, an amazing documentary on Netflix called The Death and Life of Marsha P. Johnson.
Oh, yes.
Look that up. You know, Paris is burning.
Oh my God,
there's all of these things that you can do to look up your history. Know your history. And I guarantee you, when you're the age that, say, we are, and we're telling you to look up your history, you're going to be saying that same thing to
the
people who are now your age. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be saying, what did, you know, look what we did, look at the strides we made in marriage equality and, getting bathrooms that are genderless, you know, like those kinds of things. You're going to be saying those things to people your age now. Mm-hmm. So just look up your history. It's totally easy. That's what we have Netflix and Google for.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I think we should take a break.
Okay.
And come back. Yeah? How's that sound?
We'll be back. Hey, guys. This episode is brought to you by Pyromedia Network. Pyromedia Network is a progressive moving platform to give a voice to those who feel don't have one. Social injustice, equality concerns, and more are just a few reasons why PMN is needed. For more information about Pyromedia Network, please visit pyromedianetwork.com. And we're back.
Yes.
What's going
on? So we're answering glitter mail.
Glitter mail. And don't forget, you can send your glitter mail to us. We have a special form for you guys that makes it easy. Mm-hmm. You can go to idrathernotpod.com. That's idrathernotpod.com.
Yes. I'm loving this, actually. I love hearing from, you know, because when we record, it's just me and you, and it's just, you know, yeah, whatever. And we talk about what we want to talk about, and we talk about what we'd rather not and what we'd rather. But I like hearing from our listeners. I think it's fun. And actually, I have a really fun one. And the reason why I wanted to start with this one when we came back was it's actually from a listener in Brazil.
Ooh, yes.
International, girl. Come international, on. Honey.
International, yes. Talks.
And this is from Johnny in Brazil. And Johnny in Brazil says, glitter mail is the most...
Sorry.
Right? He says, glitter mail is the most gayest name for audience mail I have ever heard, and I fucking love it.
Yes.
Anyways, I'm Johnny, and I'm from Brazil, and I found your show on Twitter. I love it. I wish you guys did weekly, but I will take what I can get. I have been saving up to move to the U.S. for the past 6 years. I now have a little over $30,000 in U.S. dollars saved up. I'm afraid to move now due to Trump being in office. What would you recommend? Should I stay put and deal with hiding who I am or for most of my life? Or should I chance it and move and hope I don't run into a Trump supporter? God bless both of you for your bravery. Love, Johnny.
Well, first of all, since you have $30,000, you can definitely move in with me. So, just saying. No, but okay. Seriously, I think that we give Trump supporters way too much power. And although he, you know, the orange is in, you know, the rotten orange is in office right now, I think that there is a lot that people, they overestimated him in terms of how much power he has and the type of change, the drastic changes he's trying to make.
Yeah.
So, and I will say this, I equate Trump supporters with hateful people.
Right.
There is always going to be bigots out there. There's always going to be homophobes. There's always going to be people who do not see things your way, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. If you have aspirations to come to America, by all means, do so. If you feel like you would be happier, regardless of running into a Trump supporter or not here, then do so. What I would recommend is to do your research of where in America you're going to move, because you don't want to move from one place that you're feeling, you know, claustrophobic in to another place that you have to stay in a closet, you know? So it's right. Probably best to really research what states you want to live in. I recommend California. It's progressive. I recommend Seattle.
Yes.
Seattle, Washington. I recommend New York. I recommend blue states. So,
yes.
Google online which states, anywhere on the coast, honestly. Try to stay away from Florida. Still a little work to be done there.
Don't go to Texas.
Definitely do not go to Texas, child. Don't even waste your time. Eventually, I feel Texas will flip and will be a much better place. But until then, don't do it, child. So I recommend, really honestly, if you want to toke up, come on the West Coast. There's lots of green. If you run into a Trump supporter, you can smoke weed with them. You know what I'm saying? So Colorado's a really good state too, another green state. Yeah, just go to progressive moving states. I think that for now, even if Trump was to, you know, go crazy and start making executive orders to, you know, kill homos, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I think we're safe for right now in terms of, or as safe as can be, more progressive states that are willing to fight back. And California and Washington, to my knowledge, and even New York are states that have openly and blatantly came out and said that they will fight the administration on anything that it hinders the livelihood of their citizens. So just right. Kind of a thought there. But yeah, I think $30,000 will get you, you know, pretty far, girl. So
well, and that's my thing, Johnny. When you hear this, girl, you have worked hard, you have saved up your money.
Yeah,
you have a decent amount of money in your pocket that a lot of Americans don't have in their pocket,
right?
And it sounds like you have had to maybe, you use the word hiding. It sounds like you've maybe had to suppress yourself a little bit wherever you live in Brazil. And I think you're going to be better off if you make the decision to come to the United States and live a much more happier, freer life. It may seem like you're going to be oppressed because of Trump supporters, but I can guarantee you that there's a lot more of us anti-Trump supporters than there is people who support Trump. It may not seem that way, and we all know how he got into the office, but I guarantee you there's a lot more of us who don't care for him and are going to be on your side per se. So get your coin, get your boxes, pack up your shit, and come live your gay life here. Okay.
Yes, yes. And also, just to add on to that, I would recommend, because I don't like to, like, you wouldn't buy a house without checking it out. You wouldn't buy a car without test driving it first. So since you have so much saved up, you know, keep that saved. And then also, like, look at traveling in the next couple of months to different locations that, you know, after doing research on blue states, you know, see where you want to live.
Visit somewhere.
Yeah, because you may want to, you may come to California and be like, oh, it's too hot here, or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Or you may go to, you may visit Seattle and just say, oh, it rains too much here. Or you may go to New York and say, oh, the weather is ridiculous here. You know what I'm saying? So go ahead and research, you know, as much as you can on different places, and then go and visit them to see how the vibe is and see how your personality interacts with it. Because honestly, like I've lived in New York, I was born and raised, I miss it dearly, but I know that I also have lived in Seattle, and my mind, I have grown a lot in Washington. I've grown a lot of my out years has been in Seattle. So I enjoy, I consider myself a Seattleite, even though I wasn't born and raised there. But a lot of my coming out years and being out openly gay, proud man has been in Seattle. So I have an affinity there. I wasn't out as much in New York I was out more here, or excuse me, in Seattle. But I also love California as well. LA has been really good to me. The traffic sucks, but you know, it is what it is.
There you go.
But yeah,
I don't think he's I don't think he's worried about heat, girl. He's coming from Brazil, so I don't think he's gonna be too angry with the heat.
I know, that's right.
Well, there we go. So we hope we answered your questions, Johnny. I got another fun one, but it's super quick because we actually have already really kind of answered this question before. But it says, I'm trying to watch more LGBTQ films. Any recommendations? Well, my recommendation is to go to our website and look up our list of episodes. And there is an entire episode where me and Kwame talk about all of our favorite gay TV shows and our favorite gay movies, which so happens to be one particular movie in common that me and Kwame love so very, very much. So if you're just looking for one, we highly recommend going and watching the movie Soldier's Girl.
Oh my God,
it is an amazing film based on a true story, and we talk about that in our movie episode. So go to our episode, the header on our website that says episodes, and you'll get the entire list of all of our stuff, and just search. I believe it's somewhere right in the middle, I want to say. But yeah, check that out, and you can hear about all of our favorite gay movies.
Yeah, and the actual episode, to clarify, is our episode 10, Gay Representation in Media.
That's it, 10, yes.
Oh my God, we've done a lot of episodes thus far. I didn't realize we're so... This will be our 18th episode.
There you go. Okay, I got one more, because I think we have time for one more. This is from a gentleman by the name of Joshua. Mm-hmm. He says, hi, my name is Joshua and I am from California, but living in Canada currently.
Yes, Canada. I've been single.
Okay. I have been living single for 4 years and I'm at a place in my life where I think I will be single forever. Do you think there's any hope for the gay dating world? I oftentimes find it hard since everyone just wants to have sex. Thank you. And I absolutely have a small podcast crush on Kwame.
Oh my God.
Fine then, you don't have a crush on me. I see, Joshua. Why, Joshua? Why?
Oh my God.
I love you too.
I just want to be touched too.
Well, there you go. That's the solution to your problem, Joshua. You just come back to the States and date me, and then you won't be single anymore.
Exactly. Krista would treat you well, child. She would cook for you. Okay.
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 Head on demand. Anyway, so I guess I don't know how to answer that because I do I am recently single, and I'm not planning on dating for a while. So I kind of want to focus on self, and I have so much going on that I don't have enough time to commit to a relationship at this point in time. I can understand that frustration of, you know, always being surrounded by sex and always wanting to look for someone who is not just interested in sex and getting to know you. But it's a whole new dating world. You know, everything is done by electronics. There's like Tinder, and I just found out that Tinder has a gay section. Did not know that. I thought it was just a straight app. So
wait, shut up for real. Tinder has a gay section?
Yeah, I was just told this yesterday. Because I was like,
I didn't know that either.
Because I was joking around with someone, and I was like, yeah, they have like, what's the gay apps? Grindr and Growler, and what's the other gay apps or whatever for gay people?
Scruff.
Yeah. See, I don't even know. That's how much I'm not even in a dating game. But anyway, and then I was like, yeah. And then I was like, straight people have Tinder. And then they were like, no, Tinder's, you can get, you can put gay people or put the preferences or whatever on Tinder as well. And I was like, I absolutely did not know that. So, but everything's so digital. I say all that to say everything's so digital. And I think we've forgotten a lot to just kind of see face-to-face people and get and hang out. So I think that is something that kind of needs to be talked about and focused on, because I think we've gotten to a point where we're just so, you know, oh, I see a picture of you. Let me swipe left or swipe right. I don't know how it works, but whatever the swiping is, and then we'll go fuck. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's beyond what a lot of people are looking at. And then also, I think you need to like kind of focus on looking for those who are like-minded, and I think it will organically happen. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah, no, that's what I was going to say, is because I feel like we're both coming at this question probably from two completely different perspectives, because I have been single for far too long than I ever care to even admit. And at a certain point, and it sounds like you might be, Joshua might be at this point, is that he's been single for a little over 4 years now. And when I got to that mark was when I started to really become super comfortable with being single. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't so focused on what I was doing. So my suggestion is go out, get off of your phone. Don't get on those dating apps. Go meet people, people, like go to a bar, talk to people. We live in such an electronic social media age that I think people forget that you can also just go out and meet people organically. And I think you'll find that as long as you're comfortable with being single and being yourself, at some point your Prince Charming will come along. At some point he will come. Just stop looking for him. He will come when you stop looking. And it sounds like you're pretty comfortable being single. Enjoy yourself. And like I said, if you don't want to be single no more, come holler at me.
Okay.
And we can date and I will cook you dinner and wine and dine you. So there you go. There you go.
Dating on the podcast.
just trying to find a date through the podcast.
Just throwing it out there. Just throwing it out there. See, okay. Canada's pretty close to Seattle, just saying. Anyway, So that's where Chrissy is. Sending me another glitter mail. Anyway,
send your nudes with the glitter mail. Thank you.
Yeah.
So, I will also accept them on Twitter and my Facebook. Thank you.
Right? You're welcome. But yes, unfortunately, we have to cut the Listen Lettuce short now. Or excuse me, not Listen Lettuce. Glitter Mail short. Listen Lettuce is for the other show. Anyway, but yes, it's really cool to hear you guys send us messages and have us read, you know, your letters, because it's nice to kind of hear things from a different perspective and get questions that will help us kind of focus our future shows onto different things. And I think that it's important to hear from you guys. And for those who are scared to send stuff in, please don't. We're not going to bite. You can also, as you heard, can send stuff in anonymously. So don't feel weird or anything. We're not going to, you know, yell at you or anything like that. Unless you.
We're not going to give out your personal information. Right. Don't worry.
Exactly. So check us out. You can follow me on Twitter at Cyrus11. That's Cyrus11. And you can follow Christy at Christy Champ, Christy Champ on Twitter as well. And then also don't forget to go on to our website, our glitteritious website, idrathernotpod.com. And also don't forget to check out our mother network, Pyromedia Network, at www.pyromedianetwork.com. And check out all the other fabulous podcasts on there. And I think that's it. Chris, do you have anything else?
Just that one thing we always say when the haters get you down, just tell them, I'd rather not. Booyah.
Bye.
Oh, what a wonderful Kiki.